This is a podcast about the hardcore community.
Made by and for those who live authentic lives and embrace hard truths.
We archive the stories of the bands and people who make this lifestyle possible. I'm Josh Lyon.
And I'm Greg Benoit.
And this is the Hardcore Archive Podcast. Welcome to the Hardcore Archive Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Lyons. With me, as always, is Greg Benoit. Tonight, we're going to be talking with Danny and Jeff from the band Dry Socket out of Portland, Oregon. They just released an album last week, so we'll be talking mainly about that. But before we get into that, we'll check in with Greg. How you doing tonight, Greg?
Yo, I'm doing good. I like that you caught yourself with the Oregon versus Oregon, because one time I like pronounced it Oregon and some lady snapped at me and she was like, it didn't go anywhere. It's Oregon. So I can move to Portland and blend in like a local. I've seen every episode of Portlandia.
I've never been to the Northwest before, but it's come up a conversation before. So I feel like I caught myself. So yeah, give us a follow on social media. I forgot to mention that Enterprise Hardcore and Hardcore Archive Podcast. Follow and rate us on your preferred streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple, whatever else you get into. But yeah, other than that, like I said, we're going to be talking with Danny and Jeff from Dry Socket. They just dropped an album last week, so we'll mainly be talking about that. But with all that being said, how you guys doing tonight?
We're doing good. Zero complaints. It's almost Friday.
Right on. Yeah, it's basically Friday. We're doing this on the East Coast. You guys are on the West Coast, so we're like 3 hours ahead. So it'll be pretty much midnight by the time we're done doing this, I feel like. So, but yeah, like I said, we'll mainly be talking about the album, but I kind of want to just kind of, for everybody who's not familiar with the band, we'll give everybody a kind of background on the band and stuff like that. So before we jump into that, were you guys in any like noteworthy bands before Dry Socket or anything, or are you in any bands currently too?
Unsuccessful bands. I think we've both been doing bands for a long time. Like, I toured a lot when I was younger, but like, so did Jeff, but nothing that like anything notable. I think, I don't know, every once in a while somebody like will pull out a CD of one of my old bands and I'm like, "Ooh, I didn't realize you saw that. I'm sorry."
One of the biggest highlights of my music career was going through a used record store and finding a CD of a band that I had been in like 15 years before. So that like made me feel like I had actually arrived, even though I know that we only made like 700 of those CDs because I like handled each one myself.
It was like moving to Portland, because I'm a New Englander and that band was based out of there, like my main band that I did when I was younger. And like, there's like a handful of Portland people that have like randomly, we've realized that they saw us when we played Portland. And I'm like, there was like five people at that show. I don't know how the lottery of you being there was, but
it's like Woodstock. Everyone's lying and saying that they were there. out of curiosity, what band was that?
It was called Offsides. It was my youth crew days.
Okay. Yeah. Did you guys play Portland one time? Because I was at that show.
Yeah, we played Portland. We toured a whole bunch. I was like 18, 19. So it was a long time ago. But
that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome to get across the country though at 18. I'm like 40 and I haven't even gotten across the country with a band. I'm just thrilled I've played in another state.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. And Jeff has done some too.
Yeah. I've just been doing bands since I was 16 and I'm 38. So just like a series of no name bands across the country. You know, one of them, I feel like back in the MySpace days where you have your like little saying or whatnot, my bandmate thought it was really funny, "Straight to the dollar bin." And yep, he was pretty accurate with that statement. So
that's where I found my band CD. I left it there because I didn't want to buy my own band. I wanted like to make one more sale.
Yeah. Yeah. I have boxes in the garage that I can't separate myself from. So I have enough of them.
The first incarnation of my record label, I went through that phase like 20 years ago of holding on to CDs from a couple bands that broke up like right after I put the CDs out. And I was like, I can't give these away anymore. And they just started getting dumped after a while. But one thing I'm curious about, though, because you already mentioned being from New England, I know a lot of Portland people are like transplants or whatever. Like, how many people from the band are like actually from Portland? Or are you guys all, a lot of you guys transplants? Or
Our new bassist is actually from Portland, but that is the only person. Pretty much, like, Portland is a transplant city. I know very few people who actually grew up here.
Yeah, we had yeah,
we did, know. Go ahead, Greg.
I was going to just say we did an interview with Jade Dust, which is from Out Your Way. And like basically everyone in that band is a transplant too, including the drummer who is originally from Rochester, where we're based out of.
Oh, sick. Yeah.
Yeah. We got a few other friends that ended up moving out there too. So I was curious when you started saying being from New England, I was like, I bet a lot of them are, because it seems like a city like that, like you said, where a lot of people kind of come and go. So I guess kind of jumping into more into Dry Socket then. When the band kind of more jumped on my radar was when I started doing this podcast in like 2020, like March, April-ish. And I feel like the band had kind of just started maybe like a few months before that. Is that kind of right timeline-wise there?
More or less. We've had like a very slow start. We kind of had member changes initially. We made a demo and then we recorded Shiver, which is the first EP that we put out. And we kind of had us like, we played only a handful of shows really before the pandemic hit, and I'm high risk. So we were like really late compared to a lot of bands for coming back to playing shows. So it almost feels like two different bands in a lot of ways, because it was like years in between playing shows, and like we continued to write and record. Like the newest LP was recorded throughout the pandemic, written throughout the pandemic. But like it really is like new different members, different band in so many ways between what kind of existed in 2019 into 2020 and what like kind of exists now.
Yeah. Cause like I had seen that comp that had like 20 bands on it. I think that was what first, got your band on my radar or whatever. And then I realized you guys had put out like an EP, like during all that, like when COVID, with everything was shut down and, with the pandemic. And I know a lot of bands were dropping music, but it had to have been weird. Like we haven't really talked about that as much lately, cause it's been a few years, and I think you're one of the first bands that's come up that's been in a situation like this, but that had to be weird to be dropping music like that when everything was shut down.
Yeah, it came with like a lot of pressure and guilt, because like I so appreciate labels taking a chance on us and like putting their time and money and effort into us, and then being like, it's really cool you want to put this out, but we have no idea how to promote this or like sell this. We have no idea when we're going to play shows again. So like, yeah.
Yeah, we were everybody, really that first recording. Shiver,
everybody. I'm sorry, go ahead.
We were really lucky with that first recording that we had recorded it like right before pandemic started. So pretty much like we'd finished it like pretty much. We didn't need to be in person with each other at all right when the lockdowns started. So we were able to release it about a month or two into pandemic. So that was our first like real recording. Our demo is pretty rough.
we don't have it on the internet. You won't be able to find it purposefully.
But after that, we sort of, it took us considering how little we were seeing each other through that first like 2 years of the pandemic, us being able to put out the second EP Sensation, like we pretty much like wrote it with only seeing each other maybe like four times or something, and then recorded it like the fifth time that we saw each other, like over like maybe like a 4 month period. So we were, considering how little we were seeing each other through that whole time period, we were really productive.
So it sounds like it was like 2 years between shows at least then for you then.
Yeah. When was our first show back?
We had a few like false starts. Like we were supposed to play with the Regional Justice Center.
Oh yeah.
And a wave was coming through, so we dropped from that.
When did we start playing shows again? 2023?
I think late 2022.
Yeah, so like late 2022 at the earliest, I don't remember, is when we started playing again. So like it really feels like we've been playing shows for like a year and a half, 2 years tops.
Yeah. I remember ever since we started doing this podcast, I've been talking about doing shows, and even here, like I felt weird like booking shows, and there was still like, there had been a few shows going on like late 2021 and some stuff still got shut down. I remember our friend was supposed to do like a New Year's Eve show and that got shut down. And then, I waited till like mid late 2022 myself too, cause I was like, I don't know how this is going to be, you know? And sometimes I feel like I waited too long cause everybody was already kind of running their own thing. And now I'm like kind of behind, but I still, I'm like, you know, I don't want to get people sick or whatever, you know? So I was like, I'm just going to wait, you know?
Yeah. I think there was people who started too soon like, and I know that everybody was like super hungry, but I don't know if as somebody who's high risk, it, there was definitely some behavior that made me question, my commitment to like being like, oh, hardcore and punk is supposed to care about people, but it does not feel like these bands care about people. And like hearing stories of bands getting COVID on tour and flying home and stuff. And like in the midst of all of that and just being like, I don't even know if I want to play shows because I don't know how connected I am to like what's going on in hardcore right now. Because yeah, they really don't give a fuck about me. Sorry. Also, yeah. Can I swear?
This is a children's podcast. Our primary audience is 7-year-olds who listen to punk.
Yeah.
Actually, I got COVID for the first time last month, and it was 2 months ago now because we're in February. But that shit sucked. Like I was like, this is like the worst thing ever. Like I thought, like my temperature was like 103, 104. You know what I mean? And yeah. It's like the worst illness I've ever had. Like, I would. Like, you know, so I'm glad I waited with the shows and stuff. And obviously it's still around, you know, so.
Yeah.
So you guys were working on this album. Like, it sounds like you guys were writing these songs this whole time, pretty much for the album we're talking about now, the LP.
Totally. Like this album, these songs are pretty old actually. And we recorded it through like
April 2022.
April 2022 is when we recorded, and we got this to the pressing plant at like the peak of the backlog, because there's, for those of you who don't know, like there was a huge backlog of getting vinyl done, and it was like a mix of all these bands trying to put it out, and then also Taylor Swift putting out a record and taking over everything. So like, we recorded this so long ago, and these songs are pretty old at this point, just because we were waiting, we waited almost like a full year for this to come out.
We submitted it January 2023 to the plant.
Yeah.
There's like two other bands I've interviewed that have gone through that. Bent Blue from San Diego, they had recorded stuff like a year prior, and it took forever for that to come out. And I forget who else. Like, I know from talking to people recently that it seems like the vinyl's not as bad as it was in previous years and months, just from personal projects I've been talking about or whatever. That it seems like there's not an 8 or 9 month backlog anymore or whatever.
No, we just got quoted for a split we have coming out, and it was like 4 months or something, and we were like, "Oh, this is wild!"
Yeah,
2 months. How do you go from 12 months to 2 months? But
it's because Taylor Swift is a CIA plant sent to destroy the solidarity of the hardcore scene by sucking up all of the pressing plant capacity.
It's true.
Right now, she's got football on her mind, so you guys are safe for at least a couple more weeks. Two more weeks. So,
And I think her fans are now directed at taking down AI because of that whole thing.
Oh yeah,
you saw that.
And I'm for taking down AI though, so I'm cool with that. So,
yeah.
It sounds like you said. When did you guys say you recorded that? In like 2022.
Yeah.
We started in April and finished up probably July, August, 2022.
Yeah, actually, no, it was past August, 2022. It was like, I think we finished, right around August, 2022. August.
Mixing took a bit.
Finishing the vocals and everything took a little bit longer. It was into late 2022 when we finished everything.
Any of you guys been like playing these songs live and stuff? Like, I know you guys did a tour last, was that summer? Cause I know you guys played Buffalo.
We've been touring consistently all year. We've been playing the songs live. And we're like kind of at the point where we have new material and we're like, this record's coming out. We need to play the songs live, but do we even want to? Like, we're ready to move on.
Yeah.
I've noticed since like, I don't know, in the last 5 years or so, it seems like people have made the transition to, instead of like waiting until they have like a whole EP worth of songs, it's like bands will just be like, all right, we got two songs, we're putting them up on Bandcamp, and then like every 6 months there's like two or three songs.
Yeah,
especially with the vinyl turnaround, just like the reasons for waiting for something to come out that's like a much larger grouping of songs, or waiting for something to get pressed.
Well, and you guys are like the same age as us, basically. So I've noticed, you probably noticed this too, that like tapes are back in a way that like vinyl was back in like 2007. Now like vinyl is mainstream and selling more than CDs, so we got to go back to tapes. I don't know.
Actually, Shiver was first released when we released it in March or April of 2020. It was first just released as a tape because
it's like since the pandemic too, I've noticed there's like so many cool little tape labels that are like, you know, they'll put out like five or six releases and then kind of be done. And I don't know. It's kind of cool. I'm going to get ahead of the next trend though and do an 8-track. I'll start selling those. Cause I mean, are people really listening to the tapes? I feel like they're just buying it so they can have something physical.
Yeah. I think with like, I don't know what's happening in y'all's scene, but like the West Coast, especially, there's this huge influx of really young kids coming to shows.
Yeah.
And like, it's a lot easier to buy a $5 or $7 tape than it is like a larger, more expensive piece of vinyl. Or if you're a young band trying to put something out, it's a lot more affordable to make 50 tapes or 100 tapes than trying to like release something in a different capacity. So it makes a lot of sense to me that tapes are back because like the youth are like fired up and revving right now.
Yeah, the last band we just interviewed, Hereditary, they're like a case study in that. Like the kid that we interviewed is like pretty fresh into the scene and has a tape label and it's got a lot of cool shit going down in San Diego. Is there like a big youth scene in Portland right now?
It's huge. Like, it's awesome. And somehow they like us. So I appreciate that. But yeah, it's kind of been overwhelming how many young kids there are. And like, they're forming bands, they're booking shows, they're like doing it all. And they're really, really hyped. And like, it's cool to see like what the definition of hardcore is being really expanded by these kids who just like don't care about how they're supposed to dress or like how it's supposed to sound. And like, they're just really hyped to be a part of angry music.
Yeah. I have this like theory that like the pandemic and the lockdown kind of accelerated people's interest in hardcore, especially younger people. And I feel like that's a product of people not being able to connect, people not being able to go out to like concerts or do anything, you know, for entertainment other than streaming services. And of course, hardcore is like a perfect outlet for young people right now because it's pissed off and everyone's got all this like built up anger over politics or, you know, the way the pandemic was handled or just the economy or something. So as shitty as things are right now in the country and as like scary as the election that's coming up is looking, it is conducive to really getting people out to shows. We've kind of got a similar thing going on in Western New York. You probably noticed it in Buffalo. They got like a lot of young kids coming to shows. Syracuse too. I feel like Rochester's like a little behind our cities, you know, to the east and to the west of us. But we've like got a couple new young bands now that are, you know, really bringing young kids out to the shows.
Yeah. Seems like it's everywhere.
Yeah, it definitely is. I've noticed it too. Like I've been booking more shows and it's something where, the more all ages, the better. Cause our scene was more like geared towards like 18 and 21 plus for a little while. Cause like the bands and people were a little bit older. And so most of the shows were not all ages. And now I'm noticing that, obviously the more all ages shows we do, it's like the double the turnout basically, it seems like. So, so you guys have more stuff coming up. I don't know if you can talk about much. Now you said something about a split or something.
Yeah, we just recorded 7 songs for a split with Body Farm from Ohio. It'll be a split LP coming out on Blind Rage. And I keep referring to it as like our hardcore album, like, because it's like our guitarist moved Drew moved last August. So he was the one who wrote, like Jeff and him wrote pretty much everything prior.
It's all 50-50.
Yeah, 50-50. But like a lot of, I think like the more melodic, weirdo stuff that goes on in our music is a lot of like Drew's influence. And we also like, we got back from this tour where we were like really hyped and like the youth were coming out and we played with all these cool bands and we were like really just like hyped on hardcore. So we wrote 7 really straightforward hardcore songs. They're still us, but it's definitely, I think, going to be a little bit more accessible and different than the stuff we had before. So that'll be coming out most likely April. And I'm excited for it. It feels like the step towards like, this is where the band is at now. And I think the songs are really good.
I got some questions about like your lyrics. For me, the thing that really sets hardcore apart from other types of extreme music are the authenticity in the lyrics. And I was looking over some of your lyrics and reading some interviews that you guys have done. I'm just curious to know, like, what is the songwriting process as far as the lyrics go? Is it primarily just you, Danny, or is it like a collaborative thing for everyone in the band? And I guess once you answer that, I guess I'll probably have some follow-up questions too.
Totally. Yeah. I think there's like one song that Drew added a few things to, but overall it is all me. I like the thing I like love about this new record is like I had been going through a lot when we were kind of writing it. And I like Sorry for Your Loss was like the name was my idea. And then like the whole concept kind of came together for the art, and the lyrics were like all part of the overall idea of grief. And like it, I don't know, I've never done something like conceptually where like previously I'm just like, I write lyrics for a song, and like I go through and like they wrote the music and then what fits to it. And I have like a booklet of random scrabblings that probably make me look wild, like I'm wild. But yeah, it was like a lot more of a cohesive writing process with this, of trying to like stick within a theme, which was cool.
So are there like what songs in particular off Sorry for Your Loss like should people really check out as far as the lyrics go and how meaningful they are to you? I mean, I'm sure they're all meaningful. And then what can people look forward to on the stuff that's coming out later?
I mean, I was going through it, to say the least. I know most of us were during that period, but like Equinox is like, I lost my dad to COVID in August of 2022, and our bassist at the time had lost his dad to COVID like not too long before that. And like Equinox like was kind of a process of writing like what I felt in the moment and what the actual experience was like. So like the lyrics to that song are very much like almost like story-like to me of like what going through it was like. And I like our drummer actually lost his dad like 2 months later, and I like sent him the song and the lyrics being like, hey, like I get how you feel. And he like read it and was like, yeah, this is how it feels. And so like that song specifically, like it has like the lyric like saying goodbye through glass, which is exactly what I had to do with a walkie-talkie to my dad. Yeah. And like kind of the overall, like a lot of the lyrics are about like processing grief, and like just like the home is the first song on the album, and it's like it was meant to be kind of like a heavy hitter intro. And I kind of like was like, what do I want to encompass as like, this is the intro to the album, what it all means. And it's just like how much change, like that song is just basically about like being like, we are not the people we were prior to May or March of 2020, you know, and like how all of us have like been carrying this collective grief and all of the screwed up stuff that's happening. And like, that is what that song is to me, is just like pure like emotion of like, yeah, I don't even know who I am. And I'm like, we don't know who we are anymore. And we're having to like really tackle that.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I didn't lose anyone during the worst of the pandemic, but that was kind of my experience of the pandemic too. Like, I do feel like grief is the appropriate emotion to say, you know, we all experienced trauma too.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I work at a public facing job. I work at a public library where like anyone can come in. And the pandemic was really the start of kind of this weird social dynamic that's been happening in public libraries, where we just kind of became like a platform for the culture war on whether like people were going to mask or like what the response to changing conditions were. And so like 1 week, you know, we'd have people getting like all pissed off at me because they'd have to wear a mask to come in. It like wasn't even my choice. I like didn't get a say. So they would be mad at me as if it was my idea. And then conditions would change and the like county or the state would drop the mandate. And then the people who wanted masking mandates were mad at me because there no longer were mandates, which again, I had no say in, but I just kind of became this like whipping boy for people depending on whether they were pro or anti-mask and whether or not there was a mask mandate at that particular moment.
Yeah. And it's like, that's trauma. And that's like, I don't know. I think we all had those experiences, especially if you have to work with the public during all of this time period. And like, as somebody who's high risk, like I'm a massage therapist. I'm still requiring masks from my clients, and like the amount of discussions I have to have where I'm like, I need you to wear a mask for me because I will get very, very sick. And like people just not caring, like being like, so, and I'm yeah. Like it's, I don't know, like a pandemic really showed the worst of people in every way, especially if you have to work customer service and like, especially if you're not wealthy.
Yeah.
So it's, I feel like the collective grief of that, along with like the dramatic feeling of like global warming getting worse, politics getting worse, like everything just be feeling so screwed up.
Well, all kind of informs each, you know, it all kind of has an effect on all those factors have an effect on each other. I like, obviously we're involved in like punk rock and hardcore. So to some degree, we have a fair amount of cynicism about the state of our society and just how corrupt our government is. But after the pandemic, I felt like, oh shit, this is like actually worse than I thought it was before this. And I thought it was like intolerably shitty before this. Like human beings really struggle to care about one another when we're like actually under pressure, like we were during the pandemic. I guess I had a thought, but it escaped me. So it'll come back as soon as Josh starts talking again, and I'll wind up cutting you off.
That's all right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, and it sucks because I think at this point, a lot of us have come around to realizing that it's systematic failures. It's not personal failures at this point. And like, it could have just been so different.
Yeah. Well, and like global warming, that was the point I wanted to make. Like I've been a vegan for like 20 something years. And part of my motivation is environmentalism, part of it's health and ethics for animals. But like global warming is something that was on, you know, is a concern for me. And then once the pandemic hit, I was like, oh, we're so fucked with global warming and climate change. Because like there were just so many people in my vicinity who wouldn't even put on a mask to save themselves. Like they're like elderly, they have multiple complicating health factors, and they're so obstinate they won't even wear a mask, you know, pre-vaccine and all that. And I just remember thinking, like, as some of these people were pouring into the library arguing with me without their mask on, you know, like, oh, holy shit. Like these are the people we have to convince to like reduce their meat consumption or to like change their spending habits. And that is like that benefit is like decades away that they probably won't live to see because they're already elderly. And here they are, they're like not even putting a mask on to prevent them from getting sick next week.
Yep. And it just feels like, I feel like the nihilism that I have come out of all of the last few years with is like pretty extreme of like, the ship is going down and that's that.
One good thing about all this though, is it society broke and that like had an effect on me. And then, you know, running parallel to the pandemic was a bunch of personal struggles that I'd been going through that really came to a head and probably came to a head because there was the pandemic. Like, you know, my oldest son, he's going to be 7, was diagnosed with autism, like right at the very beginning of the pandemic. And then we like, couldn't get any of the supports that we needed to like really kind of help him and honestly help us as parents for like almost a year. And I like had nothing, nowhere to really turn to. So it forced me to like deal with my shit. And like, I would never have chosen for any of this to happen. But at least it did help for me at least illuminate what it is that I actually can control. And I've like made a lot of progress in, you know, engaging with the things I actually have some level of control over instead of just getting pissed off about the things that I was never going to be able to fix anyway.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like, I mean, I think we all see it in like our friend circles too, is there's like the people that kind of went your path. And then the people who just put their head in the sand and didn't. And like, I also had a very similar experience. Like this album, I wrote it in the midst of it. And it is a little bit, I think, unhinged on how bad my mental health was. And like writing these new songs, it's like still emotional and it's still pissed, but it's definitely a lot more assertive in the anger of being like, nah, like this isn't like a, like, it's a lot less introspective and it's a lot more of like, I'm just mad at the world and like, I have a grasp on why and how I can be. So like, yeah, I get that completely.
One last takeaway. I'm grateful that at least I didn't become like a hateful person. Like, I'm still an angry person. I've always been angry, but I like didn't convert that frustration into like hatred towards particular groups of people or concepts.
Totally.
And it just seems like that was the path like a lot of people took, probably because that's the path of least resistance. It requires nothing of you to like blame your problems on some other group or some other person or a decision that you didn't get a say in. So at least I got that going. So I'll shut up now about my mental health and the catalyst that the pandemic was on kind of me waking up to all that.
Yeah. Bring it back to like the music and the album and stuff. Like, I feel like the arcs that you guys have been describing about all that we've been through. I think when I listened to the album, Danny's performance, like on it, like what one of the songs that like sticks out to me the most is Home as a song, and like hearing like the final lines of it, like the way that they sort of echo in my brain of all the memories over the last couple years and seeing what Danny's been through and the people around us have been through, like my direct family for different reasons and stuff. It definitely brings me to like sort of an emotional state of mind that I think is unique to this album and to sort of us as a band in this time period where it feels like hardcore and punk is becoming more escapist, and this album is definitely not escapist. It's sort of looking at that time period of our lives and putting pen to paper and putting those words on a record of what it felt like to be going through that time period.
Yeah, it was very scary to put out a very vulnerable album, and I'm really stoked people are connecting to it and getting that.
Yeah, I guess before we start kind of wrapping things up, well, I guess we'll have a couple more questions too, but I also want to mention that you said the new songs are going to be more kind of leaning in more like traditional hardcore and as opposed to the other stuff. I did notice a couple songs were kind of like that on this album too, but I think it's cool that you guys are doing that, because a lot of bands, they kind of go the other way usually, like when they start putting more stuff out, you know, they'll experiment more with sounds and stuff. And it's cool that you guys are kind of sticking to the roots, so to speak, you know.
My goal as a band is to just get angrier. So we will never be a crossover band. We will never do any of that. Like, I think we will just get angrier, hopefully faster. Like, I kind of imagine this is going to be our more quote unquote melodic album. I don't want to go down that path.
One challenge too, though, with like writing songs during the pandemic that I kind of encountered with my own band was you like have an idea. Then this is like true of any band, anytime. It doesn't necessarily have to deal with the pandemic, but like you have an idea of the songs you think people are going to respond to live when you play them. And then you like play your songs live, and it's like that one song that you have that doesn't sound like any of the other songs is like the one people go nuts for. And it's like, well, I guess we should have been a band that wrote like eight songs like that.
Yeah, we like have landed in the grind scene, like do really well at grind shows, and we're like totally stoked on it, but we're like, it's like that like Spider-Man meme where everybody's pointing at each other. I feel like that's us every time a grind, like some grind thing gets offered, and we're like, okay. And like we've definitely had that like discussion of being like, it's like those songs with blast beats that people really love. And those were the ones that were like fun to write, but weren't the stuff that we were super concentrated on.
Before we start wrapping up, I know we mentioned Portland before, and I know we mentioned Jade Dust, obviously, because we interviewed them. Are there any other bands in the region or anything, or any other bands that you guys are into that you want people to check out or anything?
Portland hardcore is like on top right now. We have so many good bands. I really love Elephant Walk and State Violence. They're both like super queer. They're super angry and they have a lot to say. Who are some of your favorites? Mind Palace is really great. We share members with them, so I'm just going to do a drop there, but they're awesome.
Yeah, for Power Violence, they're Simeon.
Oh yeah, Simeon is great for Power Violence.
Friends in Rank and Vile, they're sort of like on the metal side of grind, they're like super talented.
We have a Four Loko slam band called Shellshock that is awesome, and just the singer, she has like a Four Loko back piece and she drinks Four Lokos on stage and just like is a tiny human who owns grown ass men, and it's great. Yeah, Shellshock is great. I don't know. We have like a lot of really good bands right now. It's super cool. The scene exploded and it's, I don't know, it's rad.
I thought when
four
you said
Locals four slam.
Yeah, I thought there was a genre of music that I like missed out on. I was like, oh, that's like a micro genre of hardcore.
They've created their own. We'll just say that. But
Four Loko slam band.
Yep. That's what's awesome. Coming out of the pandemic. Four Loko slam.
On the punk side, Reek Minds and Chueco. I'm super into both of those bands.
Laser Bullet as well. Really freaking good.
Alienator.
So many bands. We get the list.
Now they're coming to mind.
Oh, I guess that'll kind of tie into to wrapping things up. Is there anything else that we missed? And if not, you guys have any shout outs or anything else? Obviously, we'll drop the link to the record in the show notes too.
I don't think so. I think that's everything. Thanks for letting us talk about the album and having us on. And thank you to everybody that's checked out the album. I think we're a little bit blown away by the response because I wasn't expecting it. And like, it's super freaking cool to put yourself out there in that way and have people like be stoked and connect to it.
Yeah, we're thankful to the two labels, Will at To Live a Lie and Gwen at Blind Rage Records, that both of them were instrumental in believing in us pretty much from when we first posted Shiver online. Within like a week of us posting that, they both pressed that together, and now depressing RLP and the Split Necks, like they've been a big part of us as a band, and yeah, we're super grateful for that.
Where can people go to find you on social media and find your music?
We are on Instagram, DrySocketPDX, all one thing. We're on Bandcamp, we're on everything, Spotify as well. To Live a Lie has vinyl still, blind, all of the colored vinyl's gone, but there is some black left. And I'm sure that will probably not have the longest lifespan. So if you want it, you should probably get it now. And then the new Split LP will be out probably April on Blind Rage Records
and King of the Monsters.
So watch out for that, because if you like hardcore, it's our hardcore album.
The Hardcore Archive Podcast is Josh Lyons and Greg Benoit, with creative support from Rob Antonucci.
This podcast is a product of the Rochester Hardcore community. Theme song provided by Stand Fast.
Visit Hardcore Archive Podcast on Linktree to listen to past episodes.
Follow Hardcore Archive Podcast and Enterprise Hardcore Podcast on Instagram for updates.
If you have an idea for an episode or would like to have your band's music featured during the closing credits, please contact us at hardcorearchivepodcast@gmail.com.